Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Now, I got to find out something here. I meet people. I know a few people I talk to. Some of them are very successful, and they're all very depressed over the political landscape. They despise the Clintons. They know who they are. They know just what's coming to America if she should win. Then they look on the other side, and they see craven frauds who would rather speak to, well, anybody, virtually a coffee shop, than them. And they say, how in the world can this country survive when it's estimated by some very, very fine journalists that about 130 million Muslims are the fanatics. Of 1.3 billion Muslims on the planet, the estimate is 1%, and I think that's a rather low number. But let's take 1%. So 130 million Muslims are fanatics who believe in jihad. They live in the ethers of the internet space, where they talk about taking over the world, introducing the retrograde Sharia law, and killing anybody who doesn't conform to Islam. And we read garbage about one slut with a baby. It makes no sense. They don't know how to make sense out of all of this. So I, for 6 months on my website, michaelsavage.com, have had a question. It's a simple question. It's been up 6 months. It says this. It asks a question. I can't even find it on my own website. Here it is. We passed the 20 million vote mark. Will Giuliani, McKennedy, and Romney agree to meet the Savage Nation? You know the answer to that. The answer is, of course not, because they're frauds. So we go to the Savage web poll, and the web poll is very simple. Should Michael Savage quit radio and run for the presidency? View results. You can't vote more than once. 20,659,000 have voted. 20 million of you have said I should quit radio and run for the presidency. So I did this sort of as a lark originally, but now I'm starting to get agitated, and I'm starting to think, what if I did this? And I started to say to myself, well, let's run the scenario. So let's start with the comedy running through my head. The comedy is, I'm president of the United States, and my first state dinner, instead of a boring, dumb poached salmon and Chardonnay from British Columbia, I invite some of my friends from North Beach who own Italian restaurants, and I put on a Sicilian meal for the first state dinner. The second state dinner is a Mandarin Chinese dinner from friends I know in the Chinese restaurant business. And I say I might liven up the presidency if I became president. Just that unto itself would be better than what we have now or what we'd get under the Clintons again. I mean, if you like Arkansas catfish, that's what you're going to get again. Mentally, physically, and culinary-wise, you're going to get Arkansas catfish of the lowest variety from the bottom of the drain swamp. So here's the question. Let's get serious for a minute. Let's say Michael Savage. I would never campaign, I'm thinking to myself, because I don't like traveling. So how could you even think of being the president if you don't like traveling? Well, I figure if you're the most important man in the world, they'll come to you. What do I have to go to them for? So I wouldn't have to travel to campaign. If I'm not going to travel as the president, why would I want to travel to campaign? And since I'm an outsider with absolutely no relationship at all to the media, they all despise me. They pretend I don't exist, but I know most of them listen to me. And the political structure makes believe I don't exist, but I know they all listen to me. They have to listen to me. How could they not listen to a show that has 20 million people listen to it a week, 10 to 20 million people? Who are they fooling? They may make believe they don't listen, but I know they listen. Because insight is very rare in this world. Intelligence is very rare in this world. And independence is even rarer. So they say, all right, let's listen to what he has to say today about X, Y, and Z. Let's see which way the wind is blowing the Savage Nation. So having said that, here's the first question of the day. And I'm not going to be on the radio anymore. All I'm going to have is a website. And I got to raise $50 million by October to run. Question, how would the media attack me? what would they throw at me when they came to see me? Because I wouldn't go to them. If, let's say I have to do the interviews. They're going to come to me. I wouldn't go to them. I'm telling you right now. The mountain is going to come to Muhammad. Muhammad's not going to go to the mountain. The mountain's going to come to Muhammad. If I ever ran, I wouldn't leave my location. They're going to have to come to me. I might make them walk around with me on the waterfront. I might make them go out with me on a boat. I might make them walk up a hill with me if they want to interview me with my dog. I don't know, but I'm not going to do it their way. They're going to do it my way, or they're not going to get to ask me the hard questions. And what do you think they'd ask me? Tell me the worst thing. I want you to take the role of the left-wing media, which is the media, period. And I want you to tell me what you think one of these left-wing psychotic pothead perverts would ask me to try to embarrass me, and I'll answer you. Now, I want you to go to my website, michaelsavage.com, for another reason. Last week, Nancy Pelosi had the perfect opportunity to defend Christianity. She claims she's a Catholic grandmother, which I'm sure she is, and I'm sure she's a fine Catholic and an even finer grandmother. I'm sure of it. But she was asked by a very brave person in the media, what does she think about the sadomasochistic leather parade that would be held in San Francisco yesterday in San Francisco? She said, blah, 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 fumble, mumble, mumble, blah, blah, mumbo, bumbo, bumbo, fumble. It's a First Amendment mumbo, jumbo, fumble, mumble. And I don't think it harms Christianity, mumbo, bumbo, fumble, mumble. Go onto my website and take a look at three of the more mild pictures that came out of this leather parade. And you tell me that a woman in a harness dressed up as a horse, a pony, doesn't harm Christianity. Then look at the middle panel of a man tied to boards with chains being whipped by a disgusting, verminous witch who belongs in a prison cell. And then look at the third one of a psychopathic, ugly girl hanging in a cage next to a church underneath three crosses, mocking Christianity itself. You tell me that these San Francisco values do not harm Christianity? Excuse me, you know that it does. But Christianity, what is Christianity today? Does Christianity exist? And if so, where? And if it does exist, how does it exist? Where is the leader of the Christian church in the United States of America? Is it the gay bishop? All we hear are the gays. Every day it's another gay bishop telling you that they speak for Jesus. Well, where are the conservatives in the Christian church? Do they exist? So these are some of the things that I want you to think about. And I also want you to call me today and answer the question. The real question I want to ask is you to call on. I don't want to take anything else right now. I will talk about dengue fever. I will talk about all the news stories that I have found over the week. And trust me, I will do that when I'm ready for it. I'm not ready for it. I'm pondering leaving radio, running for the presidency. Okay, it's a fantasy right now. Because I'm not going to ignore 20 million people on my website. And I want to know what you think the vermin in the media would ask me. Let's say Larry King is forced to get off his throne interview me. First rule would be you can't take garlic for 5 days before interviewing him because he can't stand the stink coming out of your mouth. If you want to interview him, no garlic for five weeks. If 60 Minutes interviewed me, I guess everyone has to do 60 Minutes. So the rule is no clock, no ticking clock. I don't like the sound of a ticking clock. So in other words, I'm going to take all of my quirks and apply it to them. They have to sign a release. But more seriously, what would they ask me? I want to hear how the smartest left-wing vermin, the real smart ones, they're so smart. I want to know what they'd ask me that I couldn't answer. You're going to be them. You're going to be them. Otherwise, don't call the show. And guys, are you doing my screening? Would you please remove every other caller? I only want this question. Stop screening questions on a topic I'm not interested in. Let's start doing Michael's show instead of the screener show. Okay, let's start again. You're the media. What questions are you going to pretend they were? What do you think they would ask me to try to upset the apple cart, to try to make me look like what I'm not? Because remember what my message would be. If I raised $50 million, my message would be borders, language, culture, period, end of story. Borders, language, culture. You want to hear what that means? Close the borders, militarize the Mexican border and the Canadian border. Take our troops out of Korea and Germany and put the troops from Korea on the southern border and put the troops from the from Germany on the northern border. Put them to use instead of wasting our time with an invasion from the North Pole that's never going to happen. And language. The official language of America is English. No press won for English. Press nothing if you can't speak English. Go back where you came from. Learn the language of the land. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in America, speak the English or don't speak at all. Stay home and talk it to your relatives. Don't come out into the workplace and expect the world to speak your language. Speak the language of the land, the language that is the document of the land. And that's the land you came to, so you should respect it. Borders, language, culture. When I come back, I will tell you what the culture is right here on the Savage Nation.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
So for the first state dinner, I would have pasta puttanesca, which is the perfect dish for the diplomats attending. And, of course, for the heads of state, they all deserve pasta puttanesca. It's the perfect dish. And all of my dishes would have symbolism. So the first state dinner wouldn't be Chardonnay from British Columbia and poached salmon and sorbet. It would be pasta puttanesca to symbolize what I think of the diplomats and the others attending the dinner. That would be day one. And I let them figure out why. You know, last week we had a guy who looked like a... The pimp from Persia, I called him. He comes here. He tells us that the Iranians are superior. Islam is the only religion, and you're going to convert or die. And the media now supports the man. In a strange way, they tell us we should listen to a contrary opinion. In other words, Hitler comes 1939. We should listen to what Hitler says. They've learned nothing from history, these dodos. These dodos, they're dodos. Why wouldn't we listen to him? Why listen to him? He's already told us what he is and what he means. You know, this guy looked like the kind of guy who used to sell dirty pictures down in the Seine, the River Seine in Paris in the 1950s. The president of Iran looked like the kind of guy who sold dirty postcards in Paris, or the kind of guy who, let's say, was a pimp in the 6th arrondissement in the 1960s. And we're supposed to afford him respect? Are you crazy? I wouldn't never let him in the country. So let's go to the callers. Tim, I leave radio and I announce I'm running, and the media now suddenly has to pay attention to me and try to rip me to pieces. What question would they ask me, Tim? Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
First thing I would ask to rattle you, Mike, is whether or not you would have any gay people in your cabinet.
No, I wouldn't have gays in the cabinet. I'd have them in a closet.
And the other thing they might ask are you still beating immigrants?
Feeding immigrants? Sorry?
Like, are you still beating your wife? Are you still beating immigrants, Mike?
I'm sorry, I don't get it. Feeding or beating?
Beating.
When did I beat an immigrant?
Mike, it's an old joke. Like, are you still beating your wife? Do you get what I mean?
No, I was beaten up by immigrants, but the man behind the beating was a lawyer by the name of Rosen something in the Mission District. The man behind it all was a man named Rosen. I'll get his address for you.
Okay.
But let's go back to the first question. Why are you asking me, would I have a gay in the cabinet? You're making believe if you're in the media they'd ask me the gay question?
Yes, indeed. They would do it just to rattle you, Mike, because they...
Well, I don't know. What's the proper answer to that? What's the proper answer? What is that, suddenly a qualification if you're a homosexual? Why don't you tell me who the person is instead of saying generically gay? What does that mean? What does he stand for? Why don't you tell me what the man stands for, then I'll answer it. What do I care what he does in his bedroom? Next question. Okay, next question. Next question. Modesto, California. Greg, you're the media. Go for the next question.
Yeah, I guess I would try to corner you and say you represent a small minority of people across this country, right-wing fanatics. Why are you so against immigration when the system's working so well and everybody's getting along now?
Well, you've just stated two points. One is an attack and one is a question. So which would you like answered?
Probably the attack first.
Well, then repeat the attack in a more cogent fashion so I can answer it.
Mr. Savage, you represent a very small fringe minority.
All right, wait a minute. So you're saying 20 million Americans don't matter? Is that what you're saying?
As a liberal news reporter, absolutely.
You're saying 20 million Americans don't count. How many illegal aliens are there in America? Isn't the number about 20 million? Why do they count when the core base of the Conservative Party doesn't count? Can you answer that one, Mr. Media Guy?
Well, because big corporations, we need the work.
Well, wait a minute. You posed the question. You're making believe you're them. You're saying, I represent a small minority. So the number's 20 million, let's say. It's probably 30 million. If you don't take the radio audience per se, but what my viewpoints probably represent that of 30 million Americans. I would admit that. 30 million Americans who know what's going on probably would agree with me on everything. 40 million Americans would agree with me on 80% of what I say. 50 million Americans would agree with me on 70% of what I say. So, but let's take the hardcore 30% of the Savage Nation, 30 million who represent the Savage Nation. If the illegal alien population is 20 to 30 million, why are they more important than the citizens who believe in borders, language, and culture, Mr. Media Guy? Next question.
Well, your polls simply don't represent the surveys and polls that we've taken.
Well, yeah, what polls have you taken?
I don't know what polls they'll come up with, but they'll come up with something creative.
Yeah, they'll come up with polls that are invalid and false. Let them show me one other politician in America who has run a poll for 6 months saying, should I run for the presidency, who got 20 million votes the way I did. Let me see if Obama could get 20 million people saying yes. I don't think so. You know, let me say something else to you, Mr. Media. You pay a lot of attention to this group called Daily Kos, and yet, when that idiot wrote a book, he sold 3,000 copies. How do you explain that? It's because there aren't a lot of them. They make a lot of noise, and you make believe their noise is bigger than it is. Okay, next question.
Why are you willing to uproot families, tear them apart, and send people back just simply because they're not documented? They're here to work hard. They're hard workers.
Because 30% of the prison population consists of illegal aliens who came here and murdered, raped, drove drunk, and committed homicide, committed other crimes. One out of three prisoners is an illegal alien who is a murderer, a pimp, a criminal, a drug dealer. That's the answer. That's why.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Here's the fantasy. Savage says, on March 31, 2008, I'm leaving radio and I'm going to declare my candidacy for the presidency of the United States. And I'm going to run as an independent. My platform is borders, language, and culture. If I can raise $50 million by October, I will run. If not, I'll return the money. Except that which I spent, which I don't think will be. Well, I'll spend it on advertising. That's how I intend to campaign to familiarize America with my message. I would hire a superb Hollywood team to produce the Michael Savage commercials on why we need borders secured, why English is the only language that should be spoken in places of business and in government and in forums, and why anyone who cannot speak English cannot vote. You can't vote in 16 languages as you can in San Francisco. The reason we have a twisted city run by twisted sisters in San Francisco is because the ballot is in about 8 or 9 languages. That fundamentally excludes the white Anglo-Saxon male, the white Catholic male. It excludes virtually anybody who can speak English. It destroys their desire to even vote when they know that the illegal alien has more power than they do. So they give up and they don't vote. Consequently, we get the kind of people we get. But a lot of it is fundamentally what goes on here is going on in America. That's the problem. So now you're playing the media guy or woman. And you're going to ask the questions you think they're going to ask to set me up. Ron in Austin, Texas. Go ahead, please. What's the question?
Michael, your passion and your aggressiveness is one of your strengths. I would think that to try to break you down, they're going to turn it into a weakness. And if I were one of those interviewers, I would look back to quotes that you made or even in the beginning of the show where you called the guy a pimp from Persia and say, Mr. Savage, do you really believe that the president of the United States should be referring to another head of state as a pimp?
Yes, not only a pimp, but a homicidal maniac who should be executed.
So you also then believe that, that the president of the United States should refer to supervisors, let's say, from the city of San Francisco as vermin and scum of the earth?
Yes, absolutely, because they're vermin and scum of the earth. Just look at my website, sir, and take a look at what these vermin and scum permit going on in the city in front of churches and in front of children. Women dressed up in harnesses, men being beaten with whips in the streets, women hanging in cages in front of crosses on a church. What would you call that, sir? Would you call that healthy family values?
So, Michael, my point is that they're going to try to...
No, but I'm going to give... Yeah, I understand what they're going to try and do, but I'm going to throw it back at them and give the American people a choice. If they think a woman in a metal cage who's half naked being whipped in front of a church represents America and family values, then they won't vote for me. But if they think these people should be locked up and put into a mental asylum or in a prison for violating the mores of civilized society, then they'll vote for me. I'll give them a clear choice. Right now, they have no clear choice. They have wishy-washy frauds who don't stand for anything.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm going to give them a choice. Either they're going to vote for family values, they're going to vote for a real America, and they're going to vote for a future where Americans can look forward to a future again, or they're going to vote for a further decline and the end of the country as we know it. It's that simple. Thanks for the call, Mr. Media. San Antonio, Andrew, you're in the media. What are you going to ask me to try and show me to be a bad guy? Go ahead, please.
Okay, Michael, I'm even going to ask you this question in a weenie foreign correspondent accent. Michael, you have made outrageous statements about bombing Iran. Are you willing to retract and condemn those comments about bombing millions of peace-loving Muslims?
No, I'm not willing to retract it, because the leader of Iran is a man who has said he is willing to see half of the Iranian people destroyed and killed after they wipe out all Jews in Israel. He said it would be worth his attack on Israel to see half the Iranians killed. So we have a certifiable madman roaming the planet who is saying, I'm going to get an atomic weapon, I'm going to use it, and I'm going to kill the Jews in Israel. Then if I lose half of my own countrymen, it's worth it to me. Is that a man who deserves to be a head of state, sir?
Michael, Islam is the religion of peace for millions. Only a fraction participate in terror acts.
That's correct. That's the fraction I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the 1% that is 130 million Muslims who want to destroy our way of life and want to take away our freedoms and convert us to a retrograde 15th century view of the world. Yes, sir. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Then you would say like Reagan did, the bombing begins in 10 minutes.
Well, actually, I would say like Reagan did, turn on your televisions. He's no longer with us. Him and his mullahs are now in Allah land. They're all enjoying the 72 virgins. It happened while you asked me the question, because if I tell you something right now, if I had the power, he wouldn't last 1 second. Never mind coming to New York and being given Secret Service protection. I would have shot his plane out of the sky over the Atlantic Ocean and killed him and his entourage and saved the world, World War III. How do you like that? Sir, thanks for the question. Now go back and eat your frog's legs. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Any topic is fair game. Question, Santa something. Phil, you're on the Savage Nation from Santa Claus. What's on your mind?
Well, Mr. Savage, simply put, we in the media, we really believe that you're just an entertainer. How is it that you feel that you're qualified to be president?
Mm-hmm. Well, what is it that you define qualifications by? How do you define qualifications?
Well, certainly.
So in other words, two master's degrees and a PhD and best-selling books and 15 years in the media with a large audience are not qualifications unto themselves?
Well, Mr. Savage, you've never held political office.
Thank God. That's exactly why I'm running. I'm not a professional politician, which is why I might clean up Washington and save America from the lice who are feeding off the tax base. That's exactly why I'm considering running, because I am not a politician. If you want more of the same, then vote for A, B, C, D, E, F, or G.
Well, I'll go back to being a caller here. That was a very good answer.
Yeah, I think it's a good answer because it's an answer that's irrefutable. Phil, of course they're going to ask me questions of the type you just posed, but they're not going to expect my answers.
Sure.
See, I shouldn't even be doing this show today, Phil. because I'm giving all of the Lilliputians answers in advance. Thank you for the call. I'm enjoying this. I'm actually enjoying this right now. Los Angeles, 8:30 on the dial. Don, you're the media guy. Ask me a question.
Dr. Savage, I am a student of history, as you are. Are you aware of how many people have died in the name of religion? And mm-hmm. I hear you invoking the Bible quite often on telling us mm-hmm. how to live. Would you bring the Bible to the White House with you?
Well, I would say that the Bible is a more important document and a more steadying document than is Karl Marx's Das Kapital, which has resulted in over 100 million deaths in the 19th century alone. If you just look at China, where Mao Zedong was infected with the virus of Marxism, 60 million Chinese were killed as a result of that. Or you look at Pol Pot. He was an ordinary professor in Cambodia. He went to Paris and studied Marxism at the University of Paris. He came back and there were 3 million human skulls lined up, not because of religion, but because of communism. So given a choice between communism and the Bible, I'll choose the Bible, if you don't mind.
But Dr. Savage, dead is dead. And I hear you invoking the Ten Commandments, and if we did it God's way.
Well, why is it that when men go into battle, they pray? Can you explain that to me? How come they don't put their hand on Das Kapital before they go into battle? Why is it they pray? Why does a minister, for example, have the men kneel down and give them prayers? Why is it when a man is dying on a battlefield, they are given the last rites? Does a man not want last rites? What would he rather have, somebody come and harvest his kidney or his cornea?
Well, okay, let me go to another point, Dr. Savage. You have insinuated that homosexuality is a unhealthy lifestyle. Are you homophobic? What is your problem regarding the homosexuals? They are like Muslims. They are peace-loving, hard-working people, and you're forever saying they live a shortened lifestyle. They die young.
Well, all you've got to do is look at the data coming out of the community itself. Isn't there still an AIDS epidemic, or has that disappeared?
Oh,
did it disappear? Why does it still exist? There's billions of dollars being sent to the AIDS groups. Where's the money going? If there's no epidemic, why send the money? If there is an epidemic, you have to ask yourself why they're getting it. Why are they having AIDS? Why is the HIV virus rampant in the homosexual community? Can you answer that question?
Well, sir, you're a doctor. Why don't you enlighten us?
Well, you know the answer to that. It's not coming out of the air, or we'd all have it. You see, if AIDS was easy to get, everybody would have it by now. It's been around for quite a while. AIDS is actually quite difficult to get. You have to engage in specific acts in order to get AIDS, in order to contract the HIV virus. So let's talk about the acts that induce the HIV virus into the body. And then you'll have the answer to your own question. And I don't think the children should be taught to engage in that sort of behavior, my friend. Now let's look at the birth rate in the United States of America and in the West in general. Do you think that the birth rate is a healthy sign of a society, sign of a healthy society, or the sign of a declining society? And if it's a sign of a diminishing, declining society, that is a low birth rate, what do we do to reverse it? How do we stop this?
Well,
thank you for the call. Yeah, well, what you do is you don't have girls dressed up as ponies with harnesses in their mouth. What you do is you make people stop whipping each other in front of a church in San Francisco and calling it a parade. What you do is you take a woman who wants to be hung from a crane in a cage in front of a church to mock the church. You put her in a prison cell for being insane. You put her into a straitjacket and put her on a drug to try to straighten her out. That's what you do. Anything else? Yeah, I'm enjoying it now. I'm starting to enjoy it. KNEW, San Francisco. Eric, go ahead, please.
What about the children of these immigrants, President Savage? What about their health care needs? Don't you care about the children of these immigrants?
Of course. Well, I do, but since America is such an unhealthy, racist, homophobic nation, I don't think they would get good health care anyway. The third world is far superior to our world. They have indigenous. They can take agave plants and rub it on their skin. They can do herbal cures in their country. What do they need our health care for to begin with? The third world has so much to teach us. That they should get their health care in the third world.
You are good.
Yeah, well, you know, there's many ways to answer a question, and one of them is a fun way. We could have fun, too. Chicago, Illinois. No, let's go to Robert in San Diego. Robert, you're next up. You're a person in the media. Michael Savage is running for the presidency. You want to make him out to be what he isn't. What would you ask him? Go ahead, please.
Well, I think one of the lame-brain liberals would ask you, with all of Al Gore's irrefutable evidence that he's placed on the table in front of us and all of his constituents, how can you still sit there and deny global warming and that we're causing it?
Well, one, Al Gore is not a scientist. He's a huckster. Al Gore's father ran Occidental Coal Company, and Al Gore comes from a coal and oil background. He's just finding another way to skin the cat. As the Truns Meat Factory used to say, we sell everything but the squeal. Al Gore first sold oil, then sold coal, and then when the oil and coal became unfashionable, he's now selling the results of using oil and coal. So Al Gore is not the issue. The issue is scientists. The fact of the matter is the scientific community is rather divided as to whether the global warming that we're experiencing is a quirk, and number two, whether it's caused by human activities, whether it's anthropogenic in its origins. There's good evidence that the global warming we're experiencing is A, extremely mild, and B, it's a result of sun activity. That's exactly the answer I would give.
You're awesome. I'd vote for you in a minute, and I got a campaign slogan. Stop the political damage. Vote for Savage.
Well, you see, I'm getting callers now who are really not interested in the political landscape because they won't vote for Giuliani. They're not going to vote for McCain because he shot himself in the toe. And they're not going to vote for Romney because he's too invisible. So they don't know what to do. They're certainly not going to vote for Obama. They're not going to vote for Hillary. They had Hillary already for 8 years. They know just what's coming if she wins, God forbid, whatever symbol you have to put on your body or whoever you pray to, get on your hands and knees and pray for that one. Incidentally, Hillary's in the Bay Area raking in millions of dollars. And not only is she afforded Secret Service protection, which I guess she's entitled to as a U.S. senator and as a candidate, but the California Highway Patrol has to assign numerous officers to her protection, which to me is absurd. I have no idea why these people need so many bodyguards anyway. If they really care for the public good, why do they need 50 bodyguards? I'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
It is the Savage Nation. We're fantasizing here on the program because 20 million of you have gone on to michaelsavage.com and said, leave radio and run for the office of presidency. And I said, okay, fantasy world. March 31, 2008, leaving radio, and I'm going to run for the office of the presidency if I can raise $50 million by October. Now you're playing the media. What would you ask me to try to upset me or paint me into what I'm not? Remember, a nationalist to the media is Hitler, because they are all quasi or crypto Marxists. Some of them know it and some of them don't know it. But their message is that of Marxism or light Marxism. That is socialism to most of you. What is socialism? State control of your life from the cradle to the grave with virtually no individual rights and no individual freedoms. That's what socialism or Marxism comes to mean. And the media is in that orientation. So they will then see me as the man with horns, and they're going to try to expose me for what I'm not. They would never give a positive spin. So I'm letting you play the devil's advocate, okay? In the next hour on this fantasy show, I'm going to ask you, if I were to win the presidency, what would you expect me to accomplish in the first year of office? In addition to bringing better food to the White House, such as a Sicilian dinner, state dinner, the first night, and with pasta puttanesca for the attendees, since that's what they need. They certainly all need pasta puttanesca, but those of you who know Italian food know why. The next night, we'd have to get a hot Szechuan dish to try to clean out their intestines. In addition to that, and bringing a little life and humor to the position, what would you actually expect me to do that's not being done and would not be done by any of the existing candidates? That'll be in hour number two on the Savage Nation. Let's go right now to Tampa, Florida. Kirk, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, you seem like an angry man. Do you think you have the temperament to take on such an important role running the country? And how will you be able to work out and make changes when you're getting upset with people, when you don't agree with them?
Let me ask you something. Since when has anger become a vice? And moreover, since when has being a milquetoast become a virtue? And moreover, are our enemies polite, nice people? Would you say that the Persian pimp is a nice man? Would you say that the dictator of North Korea, who has over a million people in slave labor camps, is a nice man? Would you say that the psychotic with a pinhead in Syria is a nice man? Where on earth do you think our enemies reside? What kind of world do you think they reside in? A world of niceties or a world of absolute evil? And I think it's going to take an angry man to win the hearts and minds of the American people and bring them back from the brink of insanity and to galvanize them and unify them to understand what they are facing and what they must do in order to survive, not only individually, but as a free nation. Yes, I think that my temperament could work for me. Moreover, let's look at some of the past presidents. The most temperamental president of the last 200 years was Abraham Lincoln. He was known to be subject to mood swings, and yet he freed the slaves. Would you say that was a good thing? I would hope so. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255, phone number. Any topic is not fair game. Las Vegas, Don on K-Dawn. Go ahead, please. You're in the media. What would you ask me to try to make me look bad?
Dr. Savage, I just wanted to ask you a question. You have written such books as Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. How do you expect to work with the Democrats in Congress having this point of view?
Very easily. I'd have them go get a cure before they come back to Congress. They are exhibiting a mental disorder. You cannot grant health care, for example, to all of the children in the United States of America, including millions of illegal aliens, without bankrupting the Treasury. Would you call that the mark of sanity, reason, or the mark of insanity or instability?
Thank you, Dr. Savage.
Thank you. In other words, how do you not answer that question? You're telling me that saying I want to give health care to all the illegal alien children and all the illegal aliens is not going to bankrupt America? Where's the money supposed to come from? So, in other words, if they know that and they're saying it, then they're liars. If they don't know it, then they're foolish. And if they don't know what they're talking about, then they're insane. That's all. Media, Grand Rapids, Steve, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's your question?
Dr. Savage, you claim to be a good supporter of the law enforcement officers in the United States of America. Yet when campus police officers tased a rowdy person at an event for Senator Kerry.
Well, first of all, instead of a chicken in every pot, I'd like to see a taser in every pothead. I would start with that as a platform, a taser in every pothead.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
As yesterday's positive report card shows, children do learn when standards are high.
All right.
And results
That's
are measured.
It. You know, so today is a day. Thank you, Mr. Bush. Children do learn. I don't think this was in Sylvia's restaurant, but he's at a children's conference in children's education. He says children do learn. It's beyond me. Today is a day that I wish I didn't have to speak. Today is a day that I wish I could take a vow of silence. Today is a day that I would rather just ponder the inevitable decline of the United States of America. And sadly watch this nation being raped. You know, the other day, I was thinking today on my bicycle about Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of Iran. He came here and raped us. He verbally raped the United States of America. He verbally raped Judaism. He verbally raped Christianity. He verbally raped the dignity of America. And not one of our leaders stood up to this piece of garbage. Now, he should have been killed. And I'll say it again. He should have been executed after he left this country. He is the head of the snake that will kill us. He comes here and rapes us verbally, and he leaves after raping us, and then he goes to the other psychotic in South America, forges alliances with the psychotic in South America. Slowly they're putting the grip around the neck of the United States of America, and we have nobody here speaking for us. Now, don't tell me about the president of Columbia University who dashed off to Paris a second later. Lee Bollinger is a certifiable left-wing ACLU wacko. Lee Bollinger forbade the FBI from recruiting on the campus of the University of Michigan when he was the dean of the law school. Lee Bollinger is a certifiable left-wing wacko who runs the Columbia University enterprise today, and he let this Hitler here. But Bush is the problem, not Bollinger. We know the country's filled with Bollingers, but we deserve better than a man who says we're at war and then conducts the war as though it's not a war. Now, what do we have on the other side of the aisle, we the people? We have Nancy Pelosi, who positions herself as a Catholic grandmother, an Italian-American Catholic grandmother. Now, that all may be true. Is there an Italian-American Catholic grandmother in this audience who finds a sadomasochistic, homosexual leather group that mocks the Last Supper not harmful to Christianity? Because Nancy Pelosi says that the sadomasochistic Last Supper ad taken by the sickos in San Francisco doesn't harm Christianity. Now, this so-called display replaces Jesus and his apostles with scantily leather-clad men and women sitting at a table adorned with sex toys. A spokesman for Nancy Pelosi, the Catholic grandmother, told a San Francisco publication that the ad would not harm Christianity. And she went on. It gets even worse. Listen to this. Listen to the soundbite.
Your spokesman told the Bay Area Reporter that the Folsom Street Fair advertisement mocking the Last Supper would not harm Christianity. I'm wondering if you find that advertisement personally offensive. And as a follow-up, the city's grants for the arts program funded by the city's hotel tax is subsidizing the fair. Do you think that it's fair to tax everyone who visits San Francisco and stays in a hotel to support that kind of activity?
Well, that's not really a local question. That's a constitutional question. That's a religious question. That's as big as global a question as you can ask. I'm a big believer in First Amendment, and that's therefore, I, as I said in my statement, I do not believe that Christianity has been harmed by the Folsom Street Fair advertising.
Now, I'll repeat it for you because the sound is poor. It was very well done by a CNS reporter who said, do you think that it's fair to tax everyone who visits San Francisco and stays in a hotel support this vile, disgusting fair? I'm adding the vile, disgusting fair part. And here's Pelosi, the Catholic grandmother's answer. Well, that's not really a local question. That's a constitutional question. That's a religious question. That's as big a global question as you can ask. I'm a big believer in First Amendment. And therefore, as I said in my statement, I do not believe that Christianity has been harmed by the Folsom Street Fair advertising. Now, let me ask you something. What if Muhammad was featured raping a three-year-old girl at a Folsom Street Fair? After all, I mean, what's fair is fair. What if Muhammad was shown raping a three-year-old girl with sex toys on the table next to the Quran? And they asked, let us say, Miss Pelosi, if she feels that that is in some way mocking Islam, and would it harm the Muslim religion? Would she say, I do not believe that Islam would be harmed by the Folsom Street Fair in that case? And moreover, why do the sick perverts in San Francisco continue to mock Christianity with impunity? The answer is because Christianity has lost its militancy to the point that it can no longer survive internationally in the long scheme of things. Once a religion deballs itself to the point that modern Christianity and modern Judaism have deballed themselves, it's inevitable that they will disappear as world religions. Now, I'm not arguing that Christianity should go back to its days of the Crusades. I'm not arguing that Judaism should go back to the days when David ruled Israel with an iron fist and a sword. What I am suggesting is something sort of in the middle ground. A religion must maintain its militancy in order to survive as a religion. Take a look at the Burmese monks. There you go. There's Buddhism, but they're militant. And that's why they stood up to a military junta. Can you imagine 10,000 or 100,000 Christians going in the street and saying, enough is enough. We're not going to take this anymore. I can't imagine it anymore. Because Christianity has been hijacked by liberals and turned into an appendage of liberalism, which is the real religion of the United States of America, by the way. Now, there are other stories out there. Again, as I say, if I offend thee, I cannot help. I cannot help thou. If I offend thee on Rock and Roll Friday, I cannot help thou, because it is a day that I wish I did not have to speak. It is a day I wish I did not have a microphone. And that is because I'm liable to say something today that ends it all. I'm just this far away from taking this microphone and smashing everything on the desk. I have never lived through a state of the type I'm living through now where there is absolutely no national pride. We have an aging, despicable grandmother on the other side, and we have an illiterate boob on this side, and we have nobody representing America's national pride. They will not respect the nationality of this country. They will not defend the nationality of this country. They will not defend Christianity. They will defend nothing except raping the treasury. Nothing else matters to these people. Nothing matters to these people except greed and corruption and graft. There is no defense of our nationalism. There is no defense of our religions. It is as though we do not exist as a nation. We are at the lowest ebb of our nationalism in my entire life. Let me repeat that. The Hitler of Iran came here on Monday. He raped us verbally. He raped us verbally on Monday, and he raped us verbally on Tuesday. And we had a bumbler who did not even defend us when he appeared before the UN. Think about what I'm saying to you. The president of the United States is so illiterate and so inarticulate that he speaks at the UN and no one remembers one word that he said. Not one word is remembered. But we remember what the Hitler of Iran said. We remember that he said that Iran is a superior nation. He said the Iranians are a superior race. He said that Islam is a superior religion. He said that we must convert to his despicable view of Islam. And nothing happened. He came here and he raped us verbally. He committed the equivalent of battery. Because let me tell you something. You know, the assault and battery is very interesting. If a man were to go up to a woman in a mall and say to her, he could be arrested for battery. Do you know that? This piece of garbage, this Hitler came here and raped us verbally, and nobody said anything. We have zero national pride. It can't get any lower. We have no borders. We have no language. We have no culture anymore. And that is because the two parties have raped us, and that is why they permit a rapist to walk into this country and rape us verbally and then leave us and not be punished for any of his sins against this country. There's a huge difference between freedom of speech and giving the Hitler of our time a podium which legitimizes his verbal rape. Yes or no? Don't call me on it, because that's my opinion. What I need right now is rock and roll, I guess. Let me hear some rock and roll of any kind. I really don't care what it is. Perhaps turn that off. Break that record. I'd like to say what it is, but I can't use the words I'd like to use right now because I'm not in a bar. It's too early. Let us hear anything else. Let's see how many records I can break today in the Savage Nation. Got to try another one. Turn it off. I don't like it. It's too wacky. Try another one. Anything. Again, the same thing for 50 years. Put it on my tombstone already. They often call me Speedo.
Nah, they often call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister.
I'm not in the mood for this. Get this garbage off. Get me some of that German music. I want to hear that German guy. What's that German group? That's what I want to hear. I want to hear that German group. I'm not, in a rotten mood. I'm really in a rotten mood. I've never lived through a time like this. I mean, I could see a liberal president who's articulate, who you can oppose. I can see an opposition party rising every time an outrage is presented. But there's no national center anymore. There's no center to the country. Nobody's at the head. Nobody's at the helm. There's nobody there. It's two parties raping the treasury. We don't know what to do. We, the little people, don't know what to do. There's nobody there for us. Play Rammstein.
Bestrafe mich, bestrafe mich. Stroh wird Gold und Gold wird Stein. Deine Grüße.
The day after they leave, the vermin in Code Pinko break into another meeting and interrupt it. Turn that off. The same Code Pinkos who didn't have one word to say against the Hitler of Iran, who said homosexuality doesn't exist in Iran, they have no homosexuals, who was surprisingly silent, suddenly had big stupid, ugly guava mouths in a congressional hearing when General Pace said to him homosexuality is immoral. Suddenly they were allowed in, and suddenly they opened their big, ugly, fallen guava mouths. How come they had nothing to say when Amanajad was here? Where were the code stinkos? Where were they? They were in San Francisco getting leather ready for the parade, the sadomasochistic Last Supper parade that Nancy Pelosi said is just fine with her and that it doesn't insult Christianity. I'd like to see 100,000 Christian warriors standing up and saying it does insult our religion and we're not going to take this garbage anymore. Will I see it? Never. Not in my lifetime. Christianity has disappeared as a fundamental presence in the Americas. It has disappeared as a presence. Oh, yes, it whimpers along in the churches, but it does not speak. It has no voice. I'll be back.
Yeah.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
And I said to you that Christianity has no presence in the United States. I said, oh, yes, it whimpers along in the churches, but it does not speak. It has no voice. The same is true for Judaism. And what I mean by that is let's look at Burma or Myanmar. There are the Buddhist monks. They are largely peaceful. But somehow, when they need to be heard, they'll go in the streets en masse, and they will take on the military junta, and they will be heard because they speak and they have a voice. So even the silent religion, the silent peaceful religion of Buddhism has a voice and it does speak. Where have you seen a rally of 100,000 Christians speaking about a political insult? Where have you seen 100,000 Christians or Jews speaking to the pimp of Persia? You haven't. And that's why I say the country has never been at a lower ebb on the level of national pride or with regard to religious identity than it is today in the United States of America. And I blame the political parties for this. I blame both of them. And now I want to speak to the issue itself, right? The core of the issue itself, which is religion itself. You know, I was looking through Leviticus, the most controversial portion of the Old Testament, because that's where the homosexuals live and die in there. It says various things, and it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Thou shalt not lie with any beast to defile thyself there. Thou shalt not lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is perversion. These references are there because the people were doing those things. Let me explain to you that they are impulses of the human being. All of these impulses are within the ken of humanity. And they have been for thousands of years. And when the Bible came along, when God spoke to the Jewish people and gave the laws for the tribe, what he was saying is, you got women lying down with beasts, you got men lying down with men, and I'm not going to permit this because you will die as a people if you keep this up. See, these are rules for the survival of a people. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you realize how serious this is? This is not to say that those who have impulses in this direction are not human. It's saying that these impulses are very human, and that's why they have to be controlled or curtailed by the laws of God. Because if they're not controlled or curtailed, what you end up with is a sadomasochistic Last Supper ad in San Francisco, which celebrates perversity, and it celebrates the death of an entire nation. Make no mistake about it. It celebrates the opposite of the survival of a people. It is not progressive in any sense of a progressive society. It doesn't bring society along. It destroys society, this kind of thing. So then God says to the people, I released you from bondage in Egypt. And what you did was you defiled yourself. I took you out of Egypt. And what did you do? I said, don't walk in their statutes. Don't be like the Egyptians. I gave you ordinances. I gave you statutes because you're not like those people. You're not idol worshippers. You're not idolaters. So he says, you better keep my statutes, because if a man lives by them, you will live. If a man does not live by them, he shall die. Because the impulses are there. They have to be suppressed.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, today is a day, as I said to you, that I wish that I took a vow of silence. I told you that at the beginning. I also said to you, I wish I did not have a microphone. It's a kind of day where I wish I could just reflect on what I am experiencing, thinking, and feeling. And instead, I'm here. I have a job to do, and I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking and feeling. And you may not like what you hear. I have never seen the national pride reduced to the level it is right now in the United States of America. It has never been lower. National pride, the national pride, is almost non-existent. And that is because there is a concerted effort on the part of both parties to disband all feelings dissuade all feelings of nationalism and make us think internationally and move us towards the New World Order. Both parties are moving in that direction. I saw an interview on CNBC earlier with three heads of corporations. I really wanted to break something. I really hated the three of them, these corporate shills telling us how wonderful it was. The host asked one of them, but what about China and India? Should we not be afraid of some of them, not with the outsourcing? And they were all, oh, golly be gosh, we have a wonderful opportunity with China, said the idiot who runs PG&E. God, by golly, we are just expanding remarkably in China right now, building a new coal plant every week in China. By golly be gosh. Why, it sounded like Henry T. Ford himself building truck plants for the Soviet Union in the 1930s. Why, it would have made the old Ford boys who were building making Tiger tanks for the Nazis in the 30s be proud. That's what I heard. That's what I heard. You see, I know a little bit about history, and I see history repeating itself. We are right in the middle of the 1930s. But now let's get down to the core. The core of the lack of nationalism is the lack of religion in this country. Oh, there are churches that are quite vital. There are churches that are dynamic and alive. But there is no Christian voice in this country. For a while, there was. We used to hear Reverend Billy Graham. He's elderly now, and he doesn't speak anymore in that way. There is no voice of Christianity in this country. There are voices of Christians that exhibit outrage but no leadership whatsoever. And it's the same with Judaism. When have you last heard someone speak from a biblical perspective saying, according to Judaism, X, Y, and Z? You haven't heard that. It doesn't exist in this country. There are viable Jewish congregations in the country, but they have no national voice. There are show Jews and show Christians who were invited to the White House. That is true. We understand that. But they don't speak about anything meaningful. It's all mumbo-jumbo, like a corporate executive talking about expanding into China. But let me go back. I may not take one call today. I may have to do this for three straight hours, the mood I'm in. Let me go back, please, to what I'm trying to say to you, because I've got to make the point in another way. If you read the Bible, it has various prohibitions. You should not sleep with a neighbor's wife, because you will defile yourself by doing this. A man shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. A woman should not lie with a beast, and things of that nature. Now, why do you suppose these statutes and ordinances were even discussed in ancient times? And I have to say this so that you understand it. It is because these impulses are inherent in the human being. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? In other words, they're not so outside the ken of humanity. They're quite a big part of humanity, the impulses. But the ancients were engaging in these abominable acts to such an extent that God said to the ancient Israelites, you must not do these things or you will cease to exist as a people. Now, let's speed the clock forward to 2007. Here we live in a city where there's a virtually zero child birth rate amongst white people in San Francisco, where homosexuality is the reigning lifestyle in San Francisco. It's the only lifestyle that is permitted to be exhibited on a regular basis, or heterosexuals who act like homosexuals, meaning seeking pleasure only and no family. They're the only ones exhibited by the public and exalted by the politicians. And now it reaches a zenith here, or an apogee, or shall I say a perigee, with a sadomasochistic Last Supper ad mocking religion, mocking Christianity entirely. And Nancy Pelosi, of all people, who is no doubt a good Catholic and a good grandmother, has the nerve to say it doesn't harm Christianity. She had a golden opportunity to say that does harm Christianity. It's an insult that I'm not opposed to homosexuality, but I'm opposed to the mocking of my religion. I find it repulsive, and it has no place in a civilized society. But she didn't say that. So let me go back again. Why would God have said to the ancient Israelites, the ancient Jewish people, don't do these things? Because he said you won't exist as a people if you continue to do these things. In other words, if you keep acting in this way, sleeping with animals, fornicating with your neighbor's wife, men sleeping with men, you're going to disappear as a people. And this, the impulses, these behaviors were apparently so pronounced and so strong that they passed very severe punishments for this kind of behavior. That's how strong these impulses were. Now we live in the opposite of times, where there are no punishments for any behavior whatsoever to speak of, except the obvious homicide and things of that nature. And so we now see a society that has unraveled itself. We see a society where not having children is something to be proud of, when it was considered a curse in biblical times. And consequently, we are disappearing as a people. The white race, for one, the European American, is disappearing demographically. It is disappearing. Take a look at the birth statistics. And the nation itself, nationality, has disappeared because both parties do not want any strong identity with borders or language or culture, for obvious reasons, which I don't have to go into. It's the theme of this show and has been for 15 straight years. And so the only thing that can save you from personal disappearance is to go back and study the scriptures. I mean, every word I'm saying to you, there was a reason for it. You shall not make your souls detestable by beast. A man or a woman that divineth by a ghost or a familiar spirit shall be put to death. Read it. Read it. You shall not walk in the customs of the nation. You've got to read this and understand why these rules were written. They're very severe. They're considered backwards to many people. They considered you consider them to be very, very terrible, these kinds of things. But there was a reason for them, just as there are reasons for them today. And whether it be God that punish you who engage in such things is not for me to say. I would think that you punish yourself simply by engaging in such acts. And I would think that you know it, and I think that your shame is so great inside that you have to cover your shame with drugs because of the behavior that you're engaging in, because I believe the human being knows what's right and knows what's wrong. And the excessive use of illegal drugs exhibits a desire to kill the still small voice, to kill the conscience. And the explosion of the use of drugs for children by the crazy psychiatric profession is an attempt to kill not only childhood itself, but to kill conscience within the child itself. Do you understand that? So it's a very, very difficult time that we're living in right now, very difficult times, that the pimp of Persia comes here on Monday. He rapes us verbally, and there's not one voice that speaks out against him and is really heard. And it ends with the perverts of San Francisco mocking Christianity on Friday, and Nancy Pelosi, who had an opportunity to say, this is not right, saying that this ad doesn't harm Christianity. If you have a computer, go on to michaelsavage.com. You'll see a picture of the ad, and you'll judge for yourself. On the left head of the page is a headline, Hitler of Iran treated like a rock star at a private party in New York City. Who are these people, and why are they in our country? There are some really great stories up there today. Here's another one to show you how far we've fallen. FBI takes cultural training from Muslim Brotherhood Front Group. That's from the Washington Times. Here's another one. Clinton says give $5,000 for every U.S. baby born. Well, that's not such a novel idea. I discussed it a year ago. I said the only way to save America is to start funding the birth of children. You remember I told you about that? Putin did it. in Russia to try and save the Russian people who are also disappearing, with the breakdown of communism, which was horrible, and the opening up of Russia to the degeneracy of the West, so-called free open markets. The children are not being born in Russia. There are very few native Russian children being born because the girls just want to have fun and emigrate, and the boys just want to get high and sleep with each other. Consequently, Russia is disappearing as a nation, and as a people, the Russians are disappearing as a people. This is what happened as a result of communism disappearing. Sometimes you get these unintended consequences, boys and girls. And so then we see the enemy himself. We see the Persian pimp. He comes here and rapes us verbally. And then he goes to see the illegitimate head in Latin America, put in power by Jimmy Carter and his cohorts, who legitimized an illegitimate election that was steeped with violence and murder. And he's now tying the noose around our necks. And little by little, the noose gets tighter. Here's another little thing you didn't notice yesterday on the left side of MichaelSavage.com. Gay protection tacked onto defense bill. It's an outrage. It's an insult. It's blasphemous. But Teddy Kennedy, Chappaquiddick Ted, has added giving homosexuals additional protections under federal hate crime laws tied into a defense authorization bill, daring President Bush to veto it, which he should do. Okay? There are phenomenal stories that you have to look at. Here's another one. Belgian disabled get access to prostitutes. Here's another one. ACLU to find free lawyers for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and other Gitmo detainees. Can you believe this? The ACLU will find free lawyers for the enemies of our survival. Well, this is why I said to you, it's a day that I wish I did not have to speak. I wish that I took a vow of silence. When I look at these things going on in my country, when I see the lack of nationalism, the destruction of nationalism, when I see the destruction of the tenets of our religions going on without a voice speaking out against them, there's an instinct in me that wants to literally go to the hills, create a commune, invite 1,000 people, and lock the doors on this society. I'd like to move away and run an Old Testament kind of life somewhere in the hills of this nation. I'd like to get away from it, or I'd like to turn away from it, because I've never seen anything like this. There's no self-respect. There's no national respect. There's no respect for nation. There's no respect for religion in this country, from the highest to the lowest. We don't see this. And it was exemplified to me by the Persian pimp coming here and verbally raping this country. I'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Six by the Del Vikings. Come go with me. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You know, I'll tell you, I may not take any calls. I may do 3 hours today of sermonizing, and if you don't want to hear it, I suggest you go watch The Leprechaun a little later. Talk to Gutter Rats, who he considers to be non-extremist. It doesn't matter to me, really, truthfully. I've reached a point in my career where I'm immune to whether the other man is doing better than me or worse than me. I mean, there was a time I was much more competitive than I am right now. I got to tell you, I paid attention. I cared whose book sold more. I don't care. I believe that we're living in such disastrous spiritual times and emotional times that I am really the only voice for millions of people who don't know which way to turn. They don't know which way to turn anymore. They don't know which way to turn. They see a president who gets up there and says, children's learn at a children's conference on education. They see Nancy Pelosi not defending Christianity in the face of the most vile disgrace that you could impose upon the Christian religion by mocking the Last Supper with sex toys and leather outfits and thinking that it's all a joke to everybody. And then they go into the, they don't even go to the synagogue. Many people, they don't go to churches. The churches are emptying out. They're hollowed out, except in some fundamentalist areas of America, which are, of course, detested by the sophisticated vermin called liberals who laugh at the so-called evangelicals. That's the state of affairs as we find it today. And if you now take this on a trajectory forward, tell me where it leads. Now take this where we are now and go forward on this trajectory and tell me what this trajectory leads to. It leads exactly where the ancient Israelites would have led had they not listened to the word of God. Now, as I said to you, I don't have a halo. We all have impulses that we have to control or we wind up lower than animals. Take a look at San Francisco. Your dog wouldn't behave like this. Your pet rat wouldn't behave like the way these people do, putting leather outfits on and getting sex toys and mocking a religion. Your dog wouldn't behave like this. A rat in the sewer wouldn't behave like this. And this is held up as something wholesome by the politicians who have no spine and no conscience whatsoever. And so as I say to you, I realize this is a different kind of radio show. I realize it's not even within the ken of radio. I understand that. This is not even within the ken of radio. You can't even put your finger on what's the genus and species of my radio show. Explain it to me. Go ahead. Try to define my radio show. You can't do it. Tell me the genus and species that you're listening to of the radio show. You can call it anything you want. You will not be able to define the show. This show is not definable. People define it in terms of their own biases. They call me all sorts of names, but they can't take away the millions of loyal listeners that I have to this show. And I want to say to you, I understand that for millions of people, and I mean strong people, and I mean good people, mixed in with those who were confused and frightened, millions of strong people listen to the show on a regular basis because they get some kind of strength from it. They feel reaffirmed that their beliefs have validity when they listen to me, whether I quote the scriptures or I quote common sense from Life 101. These are very difficult times, don't you understand? And all we have are public relations shills. By and large, anyone who's on television on a so-called news show is not there because they're so smart. They're not there because they wrote a book that's so brilliant. They're there because they hired a public relations shill who was able to convince a 32-year-old something producer that the book or the idea would be good for ratings. In other words, everything's being driven by ratings. I never think about ratings. Those of you who have been listening to me from 1994 on, when I first filled in on a local station, can attest to one thing. I've not changed one iota. I'm doing the same show now to millions of people that I did to tens of thousands or thousands of people. I am doing the same show today on over 300 stations that I did when I was on filling in on one station in a local market because I haven't changed. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? You can't change certain things. They're not supposed to be changed. I don't want to rewrite the Bible. I may not agree with every tenet or statute in the Bible, but I don't want it rewritten. I don't want it burned. Do you understand that? I don't want to live in Iran. But do you understand that this country cannot go forward on the trajectory that we are on and survive? It's impossible. Larry in San Diego, you'll be the first caller this hour. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. Just wanted to thank you for coming into your studio today when it had to have been difficult. I remember hearing on your program one day, and I wrote it down. I'm not sure who said it, but they said that liberals do not believe in absolute truths. Therefore, they do not believe in God because truth implies God and God implies truth. With regard to the incident in San Francisco, I just wanted to share with you, if I could, what the Apostle Paul said with regard to mocking God. May I do that?
Well, this is a lengthy thing now. I have like 30 seconds. I think you should do it quickly. Yes.
15 seconds, Dr. Savage. The Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption.
That's correct. So you take a look at this community of leather beaters and sex toy users. and tell me that they have not mocked themselves and destroyed themselves with their behavior.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Freedom of speech has been selectively exercised by Columbia University. About a year or so ago, there was a Minuteman who had been invited to speak on campus, I think, by the college Republicans. He tried to speak, and he was driven off the stage physically. He was deprived of his free speech. The ROTC, the Reserve Officer Training Course, for which we get the bulk of our officers, are not allowed to come on campus because they happen to disagree with one of their policies. Does that mean they by allowing the president of Iran, they agree with his policies?
Good for you, John. John McCain is coming back from the dead. He's dusted himself off, and he's making very, very good sense. It's a shame he took the wrong side on the immigration issue, because I actually think McCain is a great man. I don't understand how he could have gotten everything so screwed up as to join Kennedy in the immigration amnesty bill. But putting that aside, he's got this exactly right. Columbia University is a hypocritical organization, and that's been said so many times on so many shows, it's not worth repeating. But I want to again direct you to michaelsavage.com. Top right, picture of lectern, Ahmadinejad the Hitler, lectern blacked out, Columbia's blacked out. If they're so proud of free speech, and if they're so proud of their invitation and who they invited, then why do they black out the name Columbia University? It's because they're afraid that you'll remember this when fundraising letters go out. That's why. It's as simple as that. Los Angeles, 8:30 on the dial. Terry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
This Ahmadinejad freak signs a Faustian bargain, and the UN is the hole from hell out of which flows the filth into this great country.
Well, what's the Faustian bargain?
That he gets to roam around among us freely, and we can't kill him, strangle him with our own hands.
Well, but where does he lose by this? He mocked us by coming here. He mocked us because we have a putz for a president who had the power to override a university and say, over my dead body, he's never coming here. We're not letting that bastard in our country, no. Go to hell. Go over there and give him a forum. Not in my country. They could have done that. They could have said he's not getting a visa into this country. Frank, WOR, go ahead. You're on the air.
He wants to usher in the Mahdi. The Mahdi is the 12th Imam. He's a messianic figure that comes on the heels of a massive worldwide chaos out of war. This is why Ahmadinejad is so dying to get this nuclear weapon. The first country he's going to hit is going to be Israel. This is going to start a massive worldwide war, which he feels will usher in the Mahdi. Now, when the Mahdi comes back, the Mahdi is going to give the whole world, now get this, with the help of Jesus, is going to give the whole world an opportunity to convert to Islam. Those who convert...
They can kiss my behind. I'll never convert to Islam. They can kiss my Bronx behind with their conversion crap. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of hearing this conversion garbage from Muslims. They can shove it up their robes. How's that?
Dangerous this human being is.
Screw them all! How's that? They can take their conversion talk and shove it up their shoe bombs!
How dangerous this human...
They can take a shoe bomb and shove it up their pie hole! I'm sick of these people. They're guests in my country, and I'm sick of them trying to take this country over and convert us to this backwards throwback religion. I am so sick of listening to this garbage from these 15th century throwbacks. You like it? All you atheists are suddenly in love with Islam. Well, go convert. I'll buy you a one-way ticket to Tehran. Detroit, Michigan. Michael, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I'm wondering if you've been looking into the actual transcripts of what Ahmadinejad has, the speeches that Ahmadinejad has now delivered. Is this the third one today? I'm looking on the web frantically trying to find the answer to this question right now. It looks to me like he's saying basically the same thing every time he speaks at the UN for the last couple of years. I don't yet see a transcript for today.
But so what is it? I haven't read a transcript. He's saying the same thing. The Jews caused the world's problems, and we got to wipe out the Jews. He changed the name to Zionism. But let me remind all of you ignoramuses out there. Martin Luther King Jr. said, make no mistake about it, anyone who hates Zionists hates Jews. That was Martin Luther King Jr. You don't hear that much from Jesse High Jackson, do you?
Well, what I'm concerned about here, isn't there a I'm finding various websites here that say that there's a law in Islamic law, before you can attack your enemy, you have to give that enemy three chances or three warnings.
I don't give a damn about Islamic law. They can wipe their butts with Islamic law as far as I'm concerned. I'm sick of this. I don't want to hear any more about Mahdis and Allah and Imams and their law and their Sharia. They can wipe their butts with it for all I care. And they could take a shoe bomb and put it in their pie hole the next time they tell me about their sacred religion. All around the world, you see a throwback. And everywhere there's a throwback, there's Islam. I'm sick of this crap. Chicago, George, you're on the Savage Nation.
I want to see a Jew or a Christian as dedicated to their survival as this idiot from Iran is dedicated to his cause. That's all I want to see.
Well, that's nice to say. You know where they are? They're in Iraq. They're facing bullets every day. You want to go see them, you'll have to go to Iraq to find them. The boys in America who are trained to defend America are not here on Sunset Boulevard. Okay? They're not making movies. They're not in the newsrooms. They're not wearing fishnet stockings at night. They're in Iraq. That's where they are. Joe, in Cincinnati, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, if you accept, as I do, that we're at war with Islam, there's an adequate precedent to shoot this guy down over the ocean. I'm going to give you two precedents. In World War II, the U.S. shot down Admiral Yamamoto. They intercepted.
Correct. They used P-38 Lightnings. They hunted him down, and they shot down his aircraft as it was flying over New Guinea. I know the story very well. But we had MacArthur running the war effort. And we had at that time, was it still FDR or was it Truman as the buck stops here? It was still FDR, wasn't it?
It was FDR. The P-38s flew out of Guadalcanal. Also,
well, we don't have FDR right now. We have MBA running the country. You get it?
I get it. But let me tell you one other thing.
Initials of this president are not GWB. They're MBA.
The funny thing is, at the beginning of the Iraq invasion, he bombed Saddam's palaces trying to kill Saddam. So what's the difference here? This guy should be shot.
The difference is we don't have a leader. We have an MBA running the country. We have an MBA, not a world leader. And we all know it. That's why a piece of human offal like this could come into our country to begin with and get away with attacking us every day, 3 days in a row, without being executed by our U.S. military. We have the power to blow his plane out over the sky, blow out it over the waters with all of his henchmen. They could all be killed at once. They could all be wiped out, and the world could be saved. The world could be saved from the Third World War. The Iranian people would dance in the streets if the mullahs went with them.
Why not?
All right, I can't take this anymore. I can't deal with this anymore. I feel like I'm like, you know, it's like I'm telling you exactly the way you see the world. I know how the average American with a brain sees this world, but you're not connected to the leadership, and the leadership's not connected to you. You understand that? Do you understand that or not? Boise, Idaho, John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, I just think it's rather interesting that 6 years hence, here we sit with Ahmadinejad, rolling into our own country, and George Bush, you're either with us or against us, have absolutely nothing to say about it. He wasted his opportunity at the podium today at the UN to actually put this guy in his place, much less apprehend the guy for all the hostage taking back in the...
Bush is an embarrassment. He's a huge, gigantic embarrassment to this country. Every time he speaks, my feet curl up in my shoes for him. I'm embarrassed to be an American every time he opens his mouth. It's a disgrace. He ought to resign. We ought to get someone articulate to be the president in the times, the turbulent times we're living in. We're all upset because we know that the guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, what the heck he's talking about. We're all sick over this, that they let a Hitler come in here and he gets up and mumbo jumbos. Bush can't say a word. He sits there, mumbles, figuring someone will like him if he says nothing.
Yeah, where's an aircraft carrier deck when you need one?
Why do we spend trillions of dollars on advanced weapons? What in the heck are our aircraft carriers doing in the Persian Gulf? If the leader of the enemy comes to our country and we got aircraft carriers with airplanes circling the aircraft carriers, what does that tell you about the leadership of this country? I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore. The guy kills homosexuals and they don't show it on various shows because they're afraid that they'll wake the gay community up in this country, which is the most vocal and powerful lobbying group in the United States of America, especially when it comes to the media. The reason they will not widely play the "we have no gays in Iran" speech is because it just might wake up this very powerful lobby, the gay lobby. And then they will say, you know something? The right wing was not wrong. The right wing is right. The Islamofascists will kill us. And see, so there's a giant conspiracy here. Do you understand that or not? Essen. Isan, Austin, Texas, go ahead, please.
Hello, sir. Mr. Savage, I have been listening to your show for quite a while, but I must disagree on this one. Ahmadinejad really doesn't have any power in Iran. The military doesn't report to him. The Revolutionary Guards don't report to him. The police don't report to him. The intelligence agencies don't report to him. He's more or less a French prime minister. All he does is, you know, he puts the budget together and takes it before.
Well, for a guy without power, he's sure being given the all of the trappings of power. How come the man without power speaks at the UN? How come the man without power gets to speak to the National Putz Club? How come the man without power gets to speak on American television over and over again if he has no power?
I honestly think he has a short man syndrome, if you ask me, because I'm Iranian-American. I've lived in this country. But
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. You said you honestly believe what, sir?
I think he has a short man syndrome. He really likes attention, if you ask me.
Well, he may like attention, but I really don't care what the psychopath likes. I want to know why the enemy of the number one terrorist nation on Earth, a nation providing IEDs to Iraqis who are killing our boys, why he's not arrested and tried for murder. Can you explain that to me?
I think there is no reason for it. America, with the current policy, has thrived for the past 30 years since the Islamic Republic in Iran has come to power. So I don't see why to change the policy since the policy has worked so far. Iran has got weaker, and I am an Iranian-American. I would know for the past 30 years. They've got
so you're weaker. Saying the slow strangulation of Iran is working?
It has worked. The regime is very unpopular in Iran. The people tried to do reformation with the previous president who was, and the reform didn't work. And now Ahmadinejad is in power, and I believe in 2 years he will be gone. He will not be reelected. And I honestly.
All right. So I understand that from a diplomatic point of view, the United States' policy is one of let's wait and see. Let's contain them. We don't have to kill them. That's their viewpoint, right? Well, guess what? The industrialists of Germany, mainly Mr. Krupp, the Krupp family, and other very powerful industrialists also laughed at the powerless Adolf Hitler, the Austrian. And they said, well, let's just use him. He's a big mouth. He'll bring Germany back. We need to build the weapons to get rich again. So we'll just let Hitler do what he has to do, and then we'll get rid of him. In a couple of years, he won't even be here. I heard this before. I think you're wrong, my friend. You see, you got to study a little history of dictators. They're usually more ruthless, and they're usually smarter than the enemies believe they are. Do you understand that or not?
Yeah.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Akron, Ohio. John, here comes the Nazi of our time. Go ahead, John. You got the floor. You got a minute.
Yes, I don't believe in the Holocaust, and I'm an educated professional, too. So what are you trying to say? It's all ignorant people. I don't believe
in
yourself.
Your education has been blinded by your hatred for Jews. How could you not believe in what something is documented? How could you not believe in a fact of reality? It's like saying, I don't believe in the moon.
Just because you say it's so, must make it so, even though there's no evidence.
Listen, you piece of garbage, you. Listen, you piece of crap. Everybody knows that 6 million Jews were killed and 6 to 7 million Christians. Just because an ignorant fool like you, who was raised by a Nazi swine in Akron, Ohio, doesn't believe in it, doesn't make you right, you fool, you. You Nazi-loving freak.
Well, you can call me all the names you want. It doesn't change.
Yeah, I'll call you all the names I want. That's right. And what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it, you piece of garbage? What's the matter? You never saw the death camp footage?
Propaganda.
So, in other words, people created the footage. That was created in 1945 by the American military who opened up the doors of Auschwitz. The U.S. military created it?
No, it's people who died of disease and starvation towards the end of the war. That's all the footage. There's no footage of people, and there's no...
Now, who was it who poisoned you? Was it your mother or your father that was the Nazi?
Well,
which one was it, the mother or the father that poisoned your little brain? Was your mother deprived of folic acid when she was... Was she the alcoholic while you were in the womb, or was it your father who beat you with a big German strap?
Neither.
Was it your mother's deficient diet that starved your neural tube of folic acid that created a hater like you?
That must be the reason.
Yep, that must be the reason. I'm reading Healing Children Naturally to see if I can diagnose better the Nazi's deficiencies, how he got that way. And I'm looking on the folic acid. I'm not sure if it was a folic acid deficiency of his mother that caused his neural tube to have these defects, or it was a lack of another B vitamin. I'm going to have to look it up on page 17 and see what has created the Nazi brain. Consequences of deficiencies during pregnancy. Mother may be harmed. While the nutrients that are needed by the child must come from the mother's food, the developing embryo may draw them, if necessary, from the mother's tissues, even at the expense of the mother's nutritional status. So you see, the Nazi's mother obviously was nutritionally deficient. And the deficiency was so great from eating all of that worst product and eating the kraut that apparently her food habits were so deficient that with the alcoholic husband that she had who beat her son after he was born, these borderline deficiencies produced such a disastrous manifestation that we could have a moron call the show and say that the footage of Auschwitz that was shot by the U.S. military as they invaded the camps and freed the people from the ovens was created by the U.S. military. Then when you catch him on that, the Nazi says, well, no, they just died of typhus. See, this is what happens. The virulence of Jew hatred in this country is being flared up by this Iranian Hitler. So he's already done his damage. I'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Pastor John C. Hagee is a phenomenal speaker. I've seen him on television. I've been electrified by his preachings. I want to tell you something. I would say this is one of the most electrifying and important moments in my radio career. I'm very happy that he's with us right now. Pastor Hagee, welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
Now, Mr. Hagee, what you're saying, I totally agree with. And you quote Zechariah, where you say that Zechariah in the Bible states that there will be a massive exchange of weapons. Can you please, for the audience, some of whom are Christians, some of whom are not, tell us what Zechariah, where it is written, and what it states?
In the 12th chapter of the book of Zechariah, the Bible says, and this is the plague. You understand, this is a prophet seeing something that's happening in the future that he doesn't have the capacity to give a mental registry of. He said, and this is the plague that the Lord shall send against all nations that come to battle against Jerusalem, that while they yet stand on their feet, the flesh shall melt from their bones, the eyes shall melt in their sockets, and their tongues in the mouth. That is a very accurate description of what happens to the human body in the presence of a nuclear blast whenever 150,000 degrees of Fahrenheit heat is created in a fraction of a second. Those who saw the ABC presentation of Nagasaki saw that with the pop cracker A-bomb that we have now, with its limited capacities compared to what we have now, this exact thing happened. But Zachariah nails it with such frightening accuracy, there can be no doubt that there is going to be, in the future, a nuclear explosion in the Middle East.
Now, Pastor Hagee, you referenced this, and I believe in prophecy, and I myself have read much prophecy in the Old Testament, whether it be Isaiah or some of the others. Who is it that gets this meltdown? Is it the enemy of Western civilization, or who?
Here is what's going to happen and the sequence that is going to happen. I'm going to go an inch deep and a mile wide because you could bog down and you'd be here until midnight. But the next thing that's going to happen in the Middle East, according to the writings of Ezekiel in the 38th and 39th chapter, in the 36th chapter, God tells Ezekiel that the nation of Israel is going to come and be a nation again. And the thing that makes that unique is that Israel is in Babylonian captivity. In the 37th chapter, there's a valley full of dry bones. Those dry bones rise up and become an exceeding great army. And in that 37th chapter, I think about the 11th verse, God makes that very clear that these bones are the whole house of Israel. There is no doubt about who this is talking about. And I say that because I've heard some Christian pastors preach this text as the resurrection of church. This has absolutely nothing to do with the resurrection of church. And then in the 38th...
Wait, Pastor Hagee, let's talk about this. I'm looking right out of it, and I agree with you. It says it was full of bones, and he caused me to pass by them, blah, blah, blah. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy over these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, and blah, and the bones become living. To me, it's a metaphor for the descendants of the survivors of the children of those who died in the Holocaust. Those are the dry bones from the valley of death. It's the children of the Holocaust survivors in Israel who are fighting for Israel's survival right now. To me, are those dry bones. Does that, in your mind, make sense?
Well, it makes sense to this regard, that when you read that text, and it's in the King James Version, and the King James Version is always the most accurate when it comes to a rendering of a Hebrew and Greek text. It says that the bones were very dry, meaning that they had been dead for a great length of time. And in classical theology, that is meant to it is meant to define and describe the diaspora that began at 70 A.D. whenever Titus came from Rome and he attacked Jerusalem for the first time. And Josephus says 1.1 million Jewish people died, and he took 70,000 with him back to Rome to build the Colosseum. That was the beginning of the diaspora, and the Jewish state was not reborn until May 15, 1948. So for 1,800-plus years, almost 2,000 years, the nation, as a nation, was not in control of their destiny. There was always a Jewish presence in Israel, but as a people, they did not control their destiny.
But in Ezekiel, when he says, behold, I open up your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, they don't mean that literally, obviously. I mean, we are people of the modern times. We don't believe that the bones literally become reanimated, do we?
No, no. It is a metaphor, but you see, you go back to the 36th chapter, and he says, I will bring you out of your Gentile graves. And he's talking about the Gentile nations to which the Jews of the world have been taken. What he is describing is that I'm going to bring you back to the land of Israel. I'm going to restore you as a nation, and you are going to be an exceeding great army. You're going to be a strong and bold and aggressive people.
Okay, so what happens next, Pastor Hagee?
In Ezekiel 38 and 39, there's the description of the Gog and the Magog war. And in this description of the Gog and Magog war, that there is the king of the north, which is Russia, that ingratiates themselves to the Islamic nations, and those Islamic nations are going to join Russia as they come into a military attack on Israel. It will be a massive land war. The Bible says that the army will be so large that it comes as a cloud to cover the land. The payoff for Russia is that Russia will get the oil out of the Middle East to become a superpower. The payoff for the radical Islamics is that they get to crush Israel and to control Jerusalem. And the nations there, I believe, in about verse 5, are listed, and Persia is...
I cannot believe it. Yes, right here, 38, verse 5, it says, Persia, Cush, and put with them all of them with shield and helmet. Who is Cush?
Cush represents the Arabian Peninsula represents the Arabic people that presently today are involved in the land that's controlled by Gaddafi and people like that. Persia is modern day Iran, and that they're very easy to identify. And he's defining Gomer there, which is Germany, and Tushgoma, which is Turkey, and those are going to come together with Russia against Israel. And in the end of the 38th chapter and the start of the 39th chapter, God makes it very clear that he's going to destroy that army. It's going to be the most awesome, sensational demonstration of God's power on the face of the earth since God destroyed Pharaoh's army as they pursued Moses and the children of Israel. And once again, it's going to be the hand of God saving Israel. The nations of the world are going to see that massive army coming and saying, this is the end of Israel. And even all the people of Israel are going to believe that's just the end of Israel. But God says, I'm going to leave in 39:1 or 2, I'm going to leave but a sixth part of thee. That means 5 out of 6 of you are going to be killed. That's 82%. And I'm going to leave 1/6 so that they can go to the uttermost parts of the earth and say that we went down to fight against the people of Israel, and the God of Israel destroyed us, and we were destroyed on the hills of Israel by a supernatural power beyond anything the world has ever seen before. The result in Israel is that there is going to be a spiritual awakening. You read there several times in the 39th chapter that, and then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. That statement is made several times in that chapter, and that is the whole purpose that God is allowing this thing to happen, that he may have a spiritual awakening of the people of Israel, that he, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is still in charge of the earth. He is still the God that called Abraham and that led Moses, and he's the God of their forefathers. And there's going to be a spiritual awakening in the nation of Israel as they return to their spiritual roots.
Pastor Hagee, I want to, with you, please listen to 23, and I want you to interpret this for me, because this gets tricky for me to do as a commercial radio host. And the nations shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they broke faith with me, and I hid my face from them. So I gave them into the hand of their adversaries, and they fell all of them by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions did I unto them, and I hid my face from them. It sounds to me as though God smites all of them. Where is the hope here?
You're talking about a historical thing there. What God is referring to there is that God brought the Jewish people into a time of judgment from the time of AD 70 until 1948, because that they as a people turned their back upon the Lord himself. And when we talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel invited into its camp Baal worship. Baal worship was idol worship. It was a very corrupt theology system, and there was always in Israel that corrupt strand of theology that kept Israel from being a follower of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God allowed the Jewish people from 70 A.D. until 1948 to go through the hell and the horror of the Holocaust and other things to bring them back to Israel. And then finally, this war that's going to happen is to bring them back to him. When you stop to look at this story, God is saying, I'm bringing you back to your spiritual source, and which is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm bringing you back to Israel to reinitiate the people that you are, and you are going to have a heart for me like the God, like your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
And they shall bear their shame and all their breach of faith. In other words, God is really angry. You take a look, and I'm sorry to have to say this right now, but the day this war broke out, the very day that this war broke out, there was a plan for a gay and lesbian parade in Jerusalem. You know that, don't you, Pastor Hagee?
That's true.
And not only the Jewish, but the Christian and the Muslims were offended by this spitting in the face of the Lord. And I see a direct relationship between this dancing to Baal, dancing and worshiping the golden calf, throwing away the connection to the roots of Israel itself, which is God, and becoming just like any other Mediterranean nation, a desire to simply be another Mediterranean nation. This attempt to break free of the past of religiosity, meaning a connection to God, is why, again, this is happening. Pastor, I'm going to reread Ezekiel tonight as though I've never read it before. I'm no biblical expert, and I've never studied theology. I'm just a man who looks at the Bible from time to time. But the prophecy in this prophet's words of Ezekiel that you have just pointed out to me is alarming in the sense that there are countries named that will come unto Israel, including Persia, Cush, and Put, Gomer, and Togarmah. But if I read on to 39, Ezekiel 39:6, and it says, I will send a fire on Magog, and on them that dwell safely in the isles, I-S-L-E-S, Pastor, who in the world are they referring to when they say those that dwell safely in the isles? Do you have any idea who that might be?
No. There's a controversy as to who that might be. You're reading there where God is getting ready to send an earthquake to the world. And that reads in the King James Version that the islands of the sea will disappear. Now, which islands? Is that Hawaii? Is that a small island? What is being described there is a moment in time, actually, when the geography of the world will literally be restructured because of this huge earthquake. I believe it will be the earthquake in which the Temple Mount will be destroyed. The Book of Revelation describes a river that flows from the out of the Temple Mount down toward the Dead Sea in Israel with fresh water. And that beside this river, on either side, there are trees of life in which people eat the fruit of that tree. There are 12 different kinds of trees, and they eat that fruit for one different tree for every month. And that those trees and the fruit that they bear bring to them supernatural health. This is something that happens in the millennial reign whenever Jesus Christ is ruling the earth. But there is going to be an earthquake that is going to literally restructure and reshape the geography of the earth.
It's interesting that you read the prophecy to say that Iran, then Persia, would join with Russia, or Russia would join with Persia. That's astonishing. But some of my listeners who are political geniuses have told me all along that the Islamo-fascist assault upon the West is really a design of the old communist bloc, that China, which is strangely silent during this Islamofascism, Russia, which is strangely not on our side during this Islamofascism, they are actually manipulating the Islamofascism. Pastor John C. Hagee, I'm going to look for you on television. I hope you can come back as a regular visitor to the Savage Nation to interpret the scriptures for us during these troubling times.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Gay movement in this country has grown aggressively and politically over the last two decades. And they love to stick their finger in people's eyes if they can find any possible opening.
Play What the World Needs Now, please. We just got to stop this. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Because there's too much hate going on in this country. I'm going to be the one to bring us together. Because as you well know, I'm a loving guy, loved by all. And it's time to bring us all together before we all are knocked down and fall apart. Oh, my God. What version is this? Awful. God. It sounds like a bad wedding at Leonard's at Great Neck. Like in the middle of the day when they didn't want to get the night rental, it was too much money, they did the party. Remember those people that like to get a wedding during the day and you didn't want to go? Go there in the heat, dying at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and you're supposed to dance and eat cake. Who can do that? San Diego, Paul, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, doctor, I'm your biggest fan. And I just think this whole thing with the bird is over the top. In the morning, if I hear a crow make a noise, do I climb under the blankets and get my Bible out?
No, but I think it's interesting. The birds in the background, you mean you think they have no meaning?
No, absolutely not. I don't. I think you're way over the top with this, and you could dress this up in anything you want. I'm hearing birds. I'm outside right now. Do I go inside and get online and find out what it all means? I think it's just...
Well, Paul, I think, Paul, I'm not saying that because the birds are outside your window, you should worry that the bird of death is coming, but is the bird pecking a weed out of your hair? What's the bird doing? I mean, the bird's not dancing in your wig, is he?
No, he's not dancing in my wig. I just didn't know.
Well, at least you have a good sense of humor. At least you have a good enough sense of humor and the decency to call me instead of getting mad.
No, I'm not mad at all. I didn't know.
Now let me ask you, sir. I want to get a picture of you. Where are you in San Diego? What exactly?
Oceanside, California.
Are you outside or inside?
Pardon me.
Are you outdoors or indoors?
Right now I'm outdoors. I'm in my backyard, and I hear birds every.
And I would. And wait. And is this the fifth or the sixth drink you've had today?
It's probably the fifth.
All right, my friend. Nothing goes by me. I hear it all.
Savage.